Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
Tonight is actually my Thursday night, and tomorrow is my Friday. So, from working so hard, I get three-day weekends, and that means I get to work more on my dream jobs, which is acting and doing whatever I want, and that way I do feel blessed. Now, I know people want to call into the show, but remember, don't call my cell phone. Remember to call the toll-free number. It's 877-907-7217, and I do believe I'm waiting for a call. It is actually Adriano. Call that toll-free number if you can hear me. Give me a call in. I will have to be able to talk to you about Irish Whisper and stuff, and hopefully he'll be able to see posted on his wall. If anybody knows Adriano, the creator of Irish Whisper, please let him know to call the show. I can't disconnect from my phone to call him, so please do call on the radio toll-free number to call in and be able to say hi. Right now, I'm just having people call into the show, and that's what I want to do for now until I get a better handle of actually running the show, and then I will have guests on the show. So far, I've done pretty well. I was doing a few shows last week. I just started because of the way it was set up, and I wasn't too sure how to change it. So instead of having dead air, I tried to go on the show for at least a half hour one time. And to go look in the archives from the show, I saw one of my shows actually had 474 people actually listen to one of my shows. So I kind of was excited about that because the show is actually broadcasted on the internet and it can be heard anywhere, any country, any city, any state, any town, anywhere, and anybody can call in. So this is kind of cool because you get to talk with people from different places. On my last show, actually someone from England called, so that was kind of really neat. Now, I'm hoping to have actors, martial artists, stunt people, and anybody in between, anybody that has a big dream. Now, let's see. This looks like someone who looks familiar. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Adriano Mascarelli.
Hi, Adriano. I'm glad you were able to call in. And I do apologize. I should have told you it was a toll-free number to call and not the my cell phone. So I can't disconnect from my cell while I'm on air because you actually do it from your cell phone while you're running the show. So I do apologize if I confused you there.
No problem.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you called in because I do eventually want to have people as guests. But since I just started the show,
yep.
So you have people just calling for now. And I wanted to know, what have you been up to? I know you had a film made in Boston. You're a Boston boy, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and would you like to tell me?
Yeah, shoot. What do you want me to, what about the Irish Whisper?
Yeah, I want to know first, you know, about you, how you got into acting and how everything evolved to where you are right now.
Well, I got into acting through my cousin Jay Giannone. I mean, pretty much anybody in Boston. And I was, everybody knows Jay. I mean, they're in the acting business and the film business. You know, he gave me a shot. He had an audition out in Body Approved out here. He couldn't make it, so he called the casting agency, referred me. But for my first audition, you know, like anything in the business, you can't audition everything and you get the role. I didn't get the role. But then that way I didn't stop. I went for another role. I auditioned for a movie called Norita, written by Marty Kane. I played a Boston police officer in that film. And then, you know, I did some extra work. I worked with Jody Purdy from South Shore Casting. And, you know, I was just on the grind, just like anybody, you know, who wants to get in this business. You know, it's a constant grind every single day. So, you know, I was like, you know what? If I want to make a name for myself, I got to do something. So I sat down and I started writing a script, Irish Whisper. The movie's about a rehabilitated convict that has to choose between his long-desired love and his reckless best friend's promise of one sure shot, last score. We had the people from The Sopranos and The Fighter in it. Jay also, you know, he was pretty much consulting me throughout the film, which is great. You know, there's nothing like, you know, a family member, you know, helping out in the business. I mean, Jay's been in almost everything. I mean, he's been out there, you know, way before, you know, longer than me and everybody else. And you know, he's a very accomplished actor, and, you know, he's a great writer. And, you know, we're writing on things together, and we're doing some things, making some moves. I'm leaving for New York the 16th, doing a film out there. Then I'm coming back, and then I'm finally residing out in L.A. Los Angeles is where you really have to be. It's either Los Angeles or New York. You know, there's some gigs out here in Boston, but there's not too many of them. So that's what I've been doing. Just constant grind. You know, I'm in my truck right now. Actually, I didn't know I was going to be on the radio today, and I didn't write anything down.
Please
but,
be careful.
No, I just left one of my old buddy's house, the hometown where I grew up with in Plymouth. He's a Plymouth cop, Jason Higgins. Great guy. He invited me over for a cookout today, and then I got a message from you, and I said, oh, shit, why not? I'm in my car, I'm driving. Hey, might as well chat with you.
But be careful.
I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, you know, it's tough, you know, to be an independent filmmaker. It's very tough in this business. I mean, it's, you know, it's a pecking order as well. You know, I handed it off to, when I first started, I handed it off to, you know, a couple local guys, Bobby Kenny, actually. You know, I started this business and I started doing movies with Bobby, and, you know, he's, talk about an unbelievable actor. He's great to work with, and, you know, he comes up with these ideas and he's always into something. And so I started with him, and then I handed it off to Billy Vigent, which was in ABC's Body of Proof. And, you know, then the networking came in, and, you know, I got a couple people from The Fighter, The Sopranos, you know. So that's how it's going. But, you know, I'm trying to distribute it right now. You know, it's in Los Angeles right now getting edited. I mean, I feel like I keep saying it keeps getting edited. But, I mean, the editing process takes, you know, 6 months to a year, depending on what it is. And just waiting on that. And then once I get the edit, I want to pilot it and see if we can make it a television series or a TV, a movie, full-length featured. So, you know, other than that, not really.
That sounds really good. I mean, I've been trying to keep up with people and seeing their stuff, even though I'm not in Boston. I like to see what people do and, you know, getting to know a little bit about you. And it's funny how it's a small world and we're kind of like connected in the same circle. And yeah. I just feel really bad because at the Jay Ginley premiere of Scalpers, the people that are actually on my Facebook page, like yourself, was at the premiere, but I didn't really know anyone. I was just going to support Jay and loving the film and watching it. And it's like, you were there, and if I would have known, you know, you by then, I would have came up and gave you a hug.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy. You know, in social media, like Facebook, it's, you know, everybody knows everybody, and then you have mutual friends, and then you friend them, and then you talk about the business and, you know, see what you guys can do with each other and, you know, do some work down the road. That's the good thing about Facebook. The bad thing about Facebook is the girlfriends and, the broads leaving messages on your Facebook and your girlfriend seeing it. That's the bad thing. But with anything else like making money or, you know, trying to get work, Facebook's pretty good.
Well, the thing is, if someone's secure in themselves like myself, and I always state, getting into the entertainment business, knowing for me anything that I do, if I had trained in a dojo or working on set or anything, it's my work and it's not a dating field. So I've been around a lot of men on different sets. So when I go there, you know, I just network, do my thing, and that's what I'm known for, reliable. So everybody's like, no one's going to mess with Shelley. You know, it's up there to, you know, be reliable. And so that's how I get into films, to keep people say, she's reliable, she's there to work. So I kind of, I mean, for me personally, I guess it's a different thing, and I just ask people to be respectful on my Facebook. I totally take control of it, and anybody disrespects anybody on my Facebook, I totally delete it. I don't care who it is, so that's what I do.
In this industry, and I mean, I'm just a cook up, so, you know, my dialogue's not great, but...
No, it's okay.
So there's two people in this business and in the world in general. There's resistors and there's visionaries. And I'd rather be a visionary than a resistor. And there's a lot of haters out there. I mean, they've been hating on Jay, they've been hating on me, they hate on anyone. You know, anybody that's doing something good, they're like, oh well, screw him. You know, that's how this game, you know, the business works. And you know, I thought, oh, the business was hunky dory when I first started getting into it, and then I started really seeing, you know, the real people, and then the people you don't want to surround yourself with. So, you know, like
yeah,
I said,
you have to be around.
And it's a steady grind, you know. It's got to do it. I mean, you know, I've been successful pretty much so far. I feel that, you know, I'm heading in the right direction. You know, I got my cousin and I got other family members. I got a great supported family. I got my stepfather. He's a great guy. He used to be a local 88 tunnel worker. Yeah, you know, he raised me all his life. You know, and I got a mother that's a hard-working hairdresser, and I got a brother that's, you know, ranked number 62 in the country as a football player, he's a linebacker, and I got, you know, a buddy of mine that's in the NFL as an agent, you know, acting as a liaison and trying to help my brother do some things. So, you know, look him up. Anybody that's out there, want to look up some college players, look up Jason Silva. He's my brother, and he's going to be playing for Dean next year, and you know, he's going to be on UConn his second year. He's going to UConn. So check him out YouTube. Look at his video. And he's an unbelievable football player. You know, I'm very proud of him. So I'm very excited. So anybody that wants to see an upcoming college player kick ass, you look at Jason Silva and you buy tickets to go to Dean College.
I'll check him out.
Yeah.
I'll check him out, too. What is his name again?
His name is Jay Silva. You can look him up on YouTube.
Okay, I'll definitely have to check that out. And, you know, it just seems like everybody that you surround yourself, like myself, are very positive people, and that's what you have to do. And I really hope I get a chance to work with you. I mean, if it's willing and I do my film, when I get a chance to do that, I would love, you know, even if you want to come up and somehow put you in the film, because people that I like, you know, I like them for some reason when I connect with them. And when you have that feeling, you have that good chemistry. I don't mean the sexual chemistry. You just have this chemistry with people that you automatically feel. And when I saw your work, I was like, this is kind of different. And then when I was like, okay, he's in a police suit, I was like, oh, that's really fine, right? I was like saying this, and it's like, you know, it's very hard. I try to be honest. And I was like, you're a good-looking guy, you know, and you're very talented. You're a writer. And it's like, you know, I'm not on Facebook or anything telling people. I just see what I see, what's in my mind, and that's how I write. And it's not, you know, I'm not into taking anybody's boyfriend or anything, but I know what you're talking about, haters, because I've had stalkers in the past. I still do, but the best thing to do is ignore them. If there's any, you know, like if there's anything negative on your Facebook, just totally delete it, because that's the best thing to do. It stops it right in its tracks. And, you know, you're very talented, and I can see that. I mean, you were even, what, before you used to be a bodybuilder? Because I saw some pictures without, when you didn't have a shirt on. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I used to compete a couple years back. But, not to cut you short. I'm actually, I got a meeting. But thanks for letting me have you on your radio show, and I'll be listening to it over again.
Okay, definitely good. And I look forward to having you a guest a couple weeks down the road.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Alrighty, bye-bye. Well, that was Adriano, and I do have a problem pronouncing people's last names. It's Mascarelli, it's Mascarelli, and he's actually on Facebook, has a Facebook page for Iris Whisperer, and I do believe that a couple people I might have worked with them. I think, I could be wrong, but I think John Fiore might have been in the Irish Whisper, where I've actually worked with John Fiore myself. He was actually in the first seasons of The Sopranos, and I actually got to work with John Fiore in, I think, two film sets, and it was really kind of cool because you're looking at these gentlemen, and like Adriano, you know, you talk with them, they seem normal. Adriano probably can play this kick-ass guy, you know, really tough and mean, but then you sit and have a conversation, and you're not really thinking that this person could kick butt, but you look at Adriano, and you know he can bring it, and he could go psycho. I mean, he could play anything, you know, many different ranges, and I do believe that anybody with our accent, because Adriano and a couple people like myself, we are from Boston, but that shouldn't limit us. We just pick roles that really suit ourselves, and if anything, we start writing stuff for ourselves to make films, because you get the money, you can get the talent, you can get the director, you can get whatever you want, you get the money, the investor, you can make a film. And that's what it basically boils down to. If you have the money, you can make a film. And I tend to see a lot of independent films like Adriano. They make really decent films. Now, when I say decent, people might take this as a bad compliment, but I mean it in a way, in a good way. When I say decent, it's something you can watch, you can actually enjoy. Because half the films out there, you know, the indie films, they're really crap. I mean, come on. Like this one takeoff of, they were making fun of the Twilight film. First of all, I'm not a big Twilight fan. Any guy that is kind of wimpy, I'm not into them anyways. So, I mean, good luck to the Twilight fans. I mean, you know, happy for them that they have someone to look up to. It's just not my thing. But seriously, you know, I mean, if you do make, to get back to my point anyway, I might tend to get off base. When you make a film, you know, I mean, personally, I would try to make it to my best ability. You know, and if it was something I could promote, maybe, you know, if it was on Netflix or whatever, I'd be really proud of that. But I don't know how that film that was made of fun of Twilight, it was really, really crappy. Unbelievable. The crappiest film I've ever seen. It looked like it was made from YouTube and it got on Netflix. Now, Netflix has this thing where I don't think they want any indie films going on there, yet this crappy, crappy, crappy film of crap got on Netflix. I don't know how, and I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. It looks like something people made with their camera phone, and I was just like, how the heck did this get on Netflix? Did somebody sleep with someone to get this film on Netflix or not? But, I mean, I see films like Adriano with the Irish Whisper, and I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, looking at the pitches and things that you can look up about it, it looks like a really decent film. And once again, I mean that in a good way. Now, I don't really know too much of what it's about, but if I happen to get a DVD or if I happen to see it where, I might watch it a couple of times, especially if I know someone, I'm like, I want to see what his ability is. Usually people that I do like Adriano, are people that I want to work with. So what I like to do is to study how they are as characters, because when you learn about how actors are in the films, then you might learn how to work with them on set, see how their characters are. And you can't necessarily learn that on a classroom. Now, a classroom, you can learn things, but like with anything, even college, you have to have the hands-on experience. And that's why a lot of us will just do what we do and make films. Because, if you, once again, I know I repeat myself, you get the money, you can make the film. You get the money to get a great director. You know, you get the people with the sound, the lighting. You can get great talent. Believe me, you have the money, you can get the actors. Whatever, you know, their fee is, you have enough money. You can bring whoever into a film. It's just getting the money. It's the problem. But I've seen independent films where they had a budget. They did the best they can. And after you see it, you sit there and you're like, wow, these are films, and these are the films, indie films like Adriana with Irish Whisper and a couple other films, these are the films that should be bigger than the Hollywood films. Because some of the Hollywood films, I just can't stomach them. So I hopefully I will see Irish Whisper and see other things that Adriano's going to do. And he did bring up one person, yes, Jay Giannone. I love Jay Giannone. And I run a fan club page for him. I call him one of my brothers. And it's really kind of hard when you have a favorite of someone who's of the opposite sex. And even in relationships that I've had in the past, they always would be like, you know, are you sleeping with Jay? You know, are you dating him? I mean, anybody was like, are you in love with Jay? And it's nothing like that. Jay did something for me that helped me out. And it was just one of those times when I was having a hard time in my life, and he was very kind to me. After that, I never forgot that. And I just, you know, I just started learning more about Jay, and I started, you know, seeing his films and relating to where Jay had lived. I lived in that same area, and we're both from Boston, from the inner cities. I've lived in the inner city of Boston. And when I say Boston, I do not mean the suburbs. I mean the inner cities around, like, South and East Boston and other places in the inner cities, because when you hear someone from Boston, they say from Boston, and it's like outside of Boston, so no, that's like the suburbs. But the inner cities are a little bit different, and as you can tell, as I talk, I have this Boston accent. So, you know, it's something where I don't feel like I really want to get rid of my Boston accent. I actually get roles because of my Boston accent. I mean, it's something that actually does help me out. So something that is part of me helps me to get roles, even how I sound like. I mean, I must be doing something right. And if I can bring it in a film, then I must be doing something right. Now, of course, you know, I can't play any Barbie doll type of roles. I mean, come on, really? Really, me play a Barbie doll, which I'm never going to do. So I look for the roles that are going to fit me. You know, and I look for the people like Adriano, once again, people that I want to work with, that I could have good chemistry on set. And now when I mentioned the word chemistry, I do not mean a sexual thing. It means a chemistry where you can bond with people on set, you feel comfortable to bring it with those people. And sometimes those people that are on set, the directors and the actors that are in your circle, they're the ones that can bring out the best in you, and you can bring it full force because they'll support you and they'll help you and they'll teach you. So the people that are in my circle, I keep staying in contact. Even though I've only worked with them a little bit, you know, staying in that contact is something, that connection you have for the rest of your life. Now, even though I've been busy doing things, I've been invited to become part of films. It's not that I don't want to. It's just that I have so much on my plate, I actually have to refuse things, and not in a bad way. And I do appreciate, let me say once again, the filmmakers and such that have been sending me message, I want to say thank you very much for inviting me to be in your films. The reason why I'm turning them down is because I'm doing so much. I'm working full-time. I'm working on Stealth Care. I'm doing the radio show, and I'm trying to get my film going, which hopefully I can really film soon because I'm trying to work out more. And I want to give my best ability, 110% for my film, The Dishwasher. And I'm trying really, really hard with everything. But, you know, I hope to keep growing. And for people that, you know, I hope to find even more positive people. I have people in my life, like I always keep mentioning Hora Z. DeLisa. Hora Zecora DeLisa. and he's the one who is making the film Falcare, the mastermind behind the whole shebang on Falcare. And I really have to admit, Hoare is doing so much. The whole Unicorn Cove family, Unicovia Pictures, they're working so hard. They're doing the costumes. They're doing, like, everything. I mean, the editing, the music, everything. And everybody that's actually in the film, we are going to be doing our own stunts. We're going to be doing our own fights. And realizing from last Saturday, something really funny happened to me at Valkyrie. I don't really want to say it, but just believe me. It was one of those accident things, but we worked it into the film, and it is funny. And let me say, I'm still kind of recovering a little bit, but realizing it's going to get a lot harder. And from the horseback riding lessons, maybe from me riding a bike, my butt isn't as sore. I mean, I don't even know if you really want to know, but horseback riding lessons, let me say, if you're not used to riding a horse or haven't done it in a while, your groin muscles, yeah, they're going to hurt a little bit, but I think after a while I'll get used to it, and I'm looking forward to another horseback riding lesson. This is just the beginning, and I know it's going to take a lot of hard work to get Falcare really going, but to know when we're going to be in full costume, all of us together in this film is going to be such a wonderful thing, and I swear I just cannot wait. And then even to do my film, The Dishwasher, I just cannot wait, because my dishwasher, I'm going to get it to Jackie Chan, and I'm going to hand it to him one way or the other. I don't care what anybody says, because I know I'm going to work with Jackie Chan. No one can change my mind on that. And no matter what anybody says, any naysayer or whatever, I don't listen to them, because here I am 7 years every single day. No one can deter me from saying that, taken away for what's in my eye. They can't stop me from wanting my dream to happen, which is to work with Jackie Chan. And I'm very proud to say that, and whoever can't accept it for who I am, for what I love, and I do love Asian culture and other cultures, and they can't accept me for who I am not going to have them in my life. Any guy or whatever, any woman, anybody, I am not going to have them in my life if they don't accept me for who I am. In my past, I was so stupid to be around people that were not intelligent enough to figure out what they wanted in their life. They just wanted to have, how can I say, a mediocre type of life, and that wasn't for me, because I knew I was meant for more. I always knew I was meant for something big in my life, for more in my life. I just didn't know for the longest time what it was, and realizing to me, to work with Jackie, but now, seeing things in my life as I'm growing as a human being, an individual, it isn't just the fact that Jackie's my idol. It's the fact, even in this day and age, and even though Jackie Chan has worked with people from Hollywood, I still see comments and such of how much people dislike China. Now, I have friends from different places around the world in different countries. A friend here and there, like I said, in Italy and Germany, China, a couple other places. And I mean, it's not a lot of people, but knowing that people from different countries are just like you and me, and they have families, and they just want to live a life, and they want to work, and they are different from me. They have different nationalities, languages and stuff, but they're just human beings, and they want to live their lives. So how can I hate people and just think that because someone's different than me, I'm going to hate them? I can't be like that. So realizing how the world is, another reason why, and I should have, it should have dawned on my head, what is the real reason I should work for Jackie Chan? And the real reason is because it's to show the world even more that someone from America wants to work with someone from China. And I don't think China is so bad. And then I bet even people in other countries, they must view Americans as we're bad. But the reality is, I think sometimes in the media, they blow up so much things out of proportion. They want to, promote hate sometimes. Yeah, when I've talked to people from different countries, when I've Skyped with them, video chat, or followed them on the phone, they're just like you and me. And so to think that, you know, people that are my friends that I've talked with, how can I hate them from other countries? So realizing there is a bigger reason, it isn't for stardom, but it's to show something. It's to show what's in my heart. And I'm going to be, you know, colorblinded for the rest of my life. And when I say colorblinded, it means, you know, I don't look at someone as the color of their skin. I wish other people could sit inside of my body and be like me and to understand, like, how I see the world and view it. Yes, there's bad things out of the world, and it's what you do with your life. That is what matters. If you have a dream, if you want to work on films, whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, because anybody else is a naysayer can just go to hell. It doesn't matter. You have a dream. You want to do it. You should do it. You want to make a film. You have no idea what to do. All you got to do is write it. Okay, let's see who this is. It looks like there's another caller. Hold on. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi,
hello?
Who's this? Hi.
Hello. Hi. Hi, my
who's
real
this?
Name's Todd. Friends call me Whiskers.
Wait a minute. Did I just meet you tonight at the store?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sorry because you sound like a person that said they wanted to, I told them to listen to my radio show and you sound just like this person, but Whiskers, go ahead. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Having a ball with my show here.
Yeah, so what are we talking about?
Well, right now I'm talking about dreams. And I believe that anybody that has a dream, they should at least try.
Oh, that's nice. You know, I had a dream once that I had a lot of cats, and I went...
You had a lot of cats? Hello? Wow! What was that? That person's call just dropped. I have no idea that... This is kind of funny. Is this going to be one of those nice people going to randomly call in and say funny stuff? The person just said, I dreamed I had a lot of cats, like meow meow. I don't know, but that's some random crazy stuff. Anyway, this person that happened, I stopped at the store before I came home, and I just really started talking with this person, and I said, you know, call in and listen to my show, and I thought this was the person, but I think I get the joke. The person called in, said their name was Whiskers, so they had a dream, and they had a lot of cats. Ha, 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 ha. Anyway, you big joker. Okay, anyway, back to dreams. You know, it's something that I really believe anybody can do. Now, in today's society, I think we're programmed as an adult. We just don't have dreams anymore. And I know that's what how people become bitter. And they regret things as they get older. And when they become bitter, they like to take it out on other people that are actually doing things. And it's really sad because these people will grow up as an adult and they'll just hate if anybody's doing anything positive. And I just personally know this, and I'm glad and blessed that I'm able to do what I'm doing and to be able to talk and work with people who are on my level. And there's people that are even levels higher than I am. So those are the people that I want to keep bringing into my life, because I know those people that are on a higher level are going to help pick me up. And what I mean that is they're going to teach me. And it's the positive people that are going to help me become a better actress, a better stunt person. And it's something where you just know when you meet someone, you just have this instant connection. I don't know why this happens, but it has through my whole life. It's something, I don't know if it's the easiest way to explain it, when you actually like someone. I think it's like two magnets. You know, if you put them together, sometimes they'll stick right away. But then if it's like the polar opposites, if you put the magnet opposite, it'll just like jump away from each other. And I think that's what happens with people. I think it depends on your energy. Now, I'm not a psychic or anything like that, but you just know and you just feel. When you have that feeling, you connect, it seems like those are the people that you'll keep in your life. But if sometimes the energy kind of mixes, you think it could be right at first, but then the energy ends up being wrong, those are the people that you do not want in your life. Now, when you have dreams, it's actually a really good positive energy. The other thing is, when you have this, there's something about you, whether you know, you're a musician, an actor, a filmmaker, whatever it is, you know, stunt people, martial artists, you have this energy, which is good. You're creative. Sometimes you're up many hours of the night. You could be working on things for months at a time, and it's just going on. And then people want to take what you're doing. And as you've heard tonight with Adriano, with what he was talking about haters and stuff, it does happen. Now, whatever these haters, I don't know if you really can call them haters or whatever you want to call them, if it's a jealousy, maybe they're unhappy with themselves, it's whatever. The thing is, you keep doing what you're doing. The more things you do, the more chance you get. It just seems that in life, people are not going to be happy with what you do. So now I'm at the point where I don't care if people don't like what I'm doing because I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And getting this radio show, I know it's broadcasted anywhere around the world. Anybody can hear it. So this is kind of cool because I wanted a bigger voice. Now, of course, the one thing always comes back to, I want to work with Jackie Chan. So indeed, I am not going to let anybody, you know, deter me away from my dream. I keep the people in my life that is positive. They're going to be, go, Shelly, you know, and I'll help you stay on your path. If not, I'm going to kick your butt. So that I'm very thankful for because people that I have in my life will help me keep on my path. And that's what I hope to keep, I don't know if you want to say grinding or grounding, whatever into people's minds, whatever the correct term is, in your minds out there, be positive, no matter what. Now, I know people, everybody has obligations. I have obligations. It's true. When you grow up, become an adult, you got to take care of things. You know, you pay for a roof over your head and such, and, you know, a lot of people are very hardworking. So they probably ask, well, if I got to pay the bills, how can I do it? Well, if you have a heart, if you got that eye of the tiger, you can do it. One way or the other, you will do it. But I've learned that the only time you won't do it is when you're making excuses. One way or the other, people that become successful, and I think people that have been surrounded in my circle, they weren't handed anything. They actually worked for it. And to work for something, it takes a lot of hard work. Now, I feel lucky and I feel blessed because my big sister, Charlie Girl, I'm affiliated with her show, and she gave me a slot, a two-hour slot. I'm probably going to get more shows to do, and I hope I get better as I'm going along. And, yes, as you can tell, I can keep talking and talking and talking and talking. And I just want to get better at what I'm doing because I want to have guests on the show, and I want to make sure I'm doing everything the right way. Of course, I'm just going with the flow. So, you know, I mean, there could be things that could happen on the spot because it's live, but, you know, I have a lot of experience of working on improv shows, so I guess I kind of would be prepared for anything that happens on the show. You know, hopefully things will go well, and I think so far I'm doing a great job. And, you know, if people want to call in, toll-free number, 877-907-7217. Anybody can call in. It is toll-free, 877-907-7217. If not, I might just end up talking about Jackie Chan all night. But a few other things that I want to talk about, and it seems to be a little bit more serious. I'm not going to get into the politics of something, but the other night there was another shooting. And the thing is, I just can't fathom what goes through people's minds about someone hating so much that they have to kill innocent people. Even if they never had anything to do with hurting that person, they'll just go randomly and shoot someone. And I just would never have it in my heart to even I mean, I don't even like fighting. I know I love martial arts stuff, but I don't like to fight. I hate it. And even though I might train to maybe put my hand through a wall and, you know, things like that where your body can become a weapon and I just have basic training, but actually I hate fighting. I don't even like to fight or like talk. I mean, I stand up for myself. But, you know, with that temple, I just want to understand because I don't think people even understand, you know, thinking what Punjab is, if I can explain it. The only easy way I can, when I think of Punjab, if I'm saying it correctly, when you think of Gandhi, I mean, just because someone wears a turban, or the women that wear, I don't know the correct term, those scarves on the head, they think people are terrorists, and they're not. Now, people might say, you know, I'm being naive and stupid, but do you really know any of those people in real life just because of the clothes they wear? I mean, come on, you know. I mean, that would be almost like saying, like, every white person is a neo-Nazi or something. I mean, really, if you really think about it. But each culture, people are just people. That's the way to look at it. And so we all have funny accents and we talk different. But that's okay. Because those things, they don't bother me. People that don't have the patience for, you know, people that have funny accents with, you know, different countries, that doesn't bother me. Because I've been very lucky and blessed that people will want to communicate with me in my language, in the English language. And when they can't get a word right, they like, oh, I apologize, Shelley, that I can't get the words right. And there's no need to apologize because you're trying to communicate with me. And that's beautiful. You know, you're taking the time out to learn my language, and I don't know any of your languages, and here you are trying to have a conversation with me. And I'm very honored that people from other countries, they will write to me on the internet, and, you know, they try their best to communicate with me. So that I bow to you and say thank you very, very much. So anyway, in life, you know, many people, I think when they reach a certain age, they can either become bitter or they can become positive. And I think sometimes that bitterness turns into hate and people's hearts die and they lose their path. Sometimes it could be something like going out and getting drunk every night. You know, maybe people can have a drink here and there, but as you get older, you're supposed to become a responsible adult. And then I keep hearing these people that are around my age or older getting, you know, drunk so much. I'm like, really? How's that hangover? You know, not for nothing. Yes, I'm using a double negative, not for nothing. I know all the grandma Nazis out there are not liking it, and I'm like, I don't care, but not for nothing. When you get to be a certain age, and it's not fun anymore to be hungover, is it? And I have no, like, you know, I don't feel sorry for anybody that's hungover because you bring it upon yourself. And if you have a headache the next day for drinking, that's yourself and not anybody else. Nobody's putting that liquor down your throat. No one's tying you to a chair and shoving that liquor down your throat. Now, of course, you know, there's alcoholism and stuff, and it's really hard. And I'm not here to judge anybody. But people that are being stupid and just like, you know, I got to go out and have a drink because, you know, I want to be stupid. You know, that's your prerogative, but I really don't think a hangover the next day is really that fun. And quite frankly, to work on a set the next day and if I want to, if I have to get thrown around and such, quite frankly, I don't want to have a headache on set. So what do? I choose no drinking, no smoking. No drugs. And amongst other things, you know, for my health, to take good care of myself. And I have to admit, years ago, I was very, very thin. You know, I'm 5'8", and I was like bone thin, very, very thin. And the thing is, I was sick all the time, and no one could help me. And even seeing doctors with medication stuff, they couldn't help me. Well, the one person that's been helping me is, once again, everything goes back to Horace Acordaliza, and he's been trying to show me how to take really good care of myself. And I took a year of Tai Chi, and that kind of mellowed out my stomach issue. And the thing is, I've been healthier, and I'm trying to get even stronger. And I know I have to take even better care of myself, because if someone shows you something, you should take better care of yourself. So if you have good things come in life, you want to be here as long as you can to experience those good things. Now, I can't talk for everyone, because people are asking me, well, how do you do it, Shelley? You know, how are you getting these things like the radio show? Now I'm writing on hub pages, and I'm back into writing and so many different things. Well, you know what it is? It's hard work. You know, you have to get up every day. You have to go to work, and that's the one thing. You have to have a job to support yourself, which I do, and I'm very happy, because it's something where, you know, when you have a place and it's peaceful, you really like, you know, a place to stay and, you know, to live your life the way you want to live and how you were meant to live. I don't bring any drama into my life. I refuse to have it. And as you can see, I'm happier, and you can hear it in my voice. I mean, you can't fake how I sound. I'm just talking, and I think you can hear the happiness in my voice. I may not pronounce words correctly, but you can hear the happiness in my voice, and I'm very happy to talk for 2 hours nonstop, unless someone calls in. Once again, I'll talk about Jackie Chan if someone calls in. But anyway, it's not like you're being handed anything. So yeah, I know some people in the industry, they get handed films and lots of money, but most of us that work in the industry, we work our butts off. Let me tell you, a lot of people, like I said, they have to work regular jobs, and then they do their films, because they have to take care of so many things, bills and, you know, family and so many different things, and then they do their dream job. And it's something where, I mean, I don't know how people can do it, but I think I've learned that you just keep going. And the one thing is, now, you know, before I only could do my dream job once in a while, now it seems like I've got a chance to do it 3 days a week, and if I have time after work, I can actually do that. But the thing is to actually go full-time in the entertainment business, and that is my dream, and it's something that I want to do. And then I want everything I've been preparing in the last 7 years, you know, every single day, you know, working on something, networking, talking to people. You know, and I do thank all the filmmakers and all the actors and everyone, once again, the stuntmen, and let me say to the stuntmen that I friended, just let me say thank you so very much for being very, very kind to me, because, you know, maybe those one or two things that you might have said to me have made my whole day. So thank you very, very much. And the filmmakers, the directors that have talked with me online and such, thank you so very much, because, you know, just for saying a few things here and there, sometimes, you know, you've made my whole day. I mean, people don't realize that. I mean, people that have been in the business for a very long time, when you've said something to me, do you know that made me feel very happy and felt, you know, like, wow, you know, you treated me with kindness. So sometimes in those bad times in the past, that's gotten me through to where I am sitting today talking on the radio. So I indeed say thank you. And if I can say this, how Jackie Chan would say it, shushé, hope that's how I say it, and I hope to say it to Jackie Chan, shushé, and XIE, XIE. And once again, to let you know, XIE, XIE, if I write that on your Facebook page, it means thank you. So anyway, if Jackie Chan, if you are listening, I hope you do hear me. I want to say thank you so much. If you can only hear it on the radio right now, hear it in my voice, I just want to say, Jackie Chan, thank you so much. You've been an inspiration to me since I was little, and it's been so long, and I so appreciate your work, and I think I understand it even more. I know it's hard work, and I know it's not a walk in the park to work with you, Jackie. And from learning over the past 7 years, I know working on films and doing a little bit of your stunt work and such, it is hard work. And I know in life, I am not Jackie Chan. I never will be Jackie Chan. I am just an actress who did some of her own stunts and some of her own fights. I'm not a black belt or anything. I just have that experience. And I have my own little things that I can bring to a film. And I know I have a great personality, and I can bring it. And to be able to someday sit down with you, Jackie Chan. I swear I would just tell you everything and how everything came about. After I make that film, The Dishwasher, Jackie, I am going to get that to you because my film, The Dishwasher, is dedicated to you, Jackie Chan. It's to thank you and everybody that's involved in my film, The Dishwasher. Thing Verapath, he's actually going to be filming it. Anthony Huang, I hope everybody else is on board, and I will let them know when we're filming. It's going to take a weekend, and that Sunday before the weekend, we are going to have a rehearsal for a fight scene. And yes, it's going to be a short film, and I just want to make it short and simple to a point. And I do appreciate, let me say, I want to say thank you to the filmmakers out there. And there was a couple people that did want to help me to distribute this film, but it was going to get so much more complicated. I don't want my first film to be that complicated. I want it to be simple and to a point. It's just a thank you for me to be just me in this film practically. You know, this person who is a dishwasher, who's just, you know, an underdog, and she dreams of working with Jackie Chan, like having a life, and that's exactly how I am in real life. That's practically what The Dishwasher is. I'm taking my life and putting it into this film. As an underdog, you know, I am kind of a Rocky type of person. I'm an underdog. And usually underdogs always have a happy ending. So my happy ending in my fairy tale, it might not be a Disney fairy tale, but for me, to work with Jackie Chan, that is my thing. And I've mentioned before, I could care less if I never get a birthday present or a Christmas present ever again. The only thing in my life is I want to work with Jackie. And I know it will happen because it's something in my heart no one can ever take away from me. So if I talk about this constantly, I hope anybody that's listening, anybody that has a dream, whatever it may be, I have a big dream to work with this international superstar. And yes, Jackie Chan is a superstar. It's my dream. So if you imagine someone that came from nothing and is working her way up the ladder, you know, working, if I have that dream to work with Jackie Chan, you have a dream. You better listen to these words. You can do it. You can do it. You know why? Because you can. There's nothing stopping you from doing a dream but yourself. And people told me, everybody in my past told me I could not do what I'm doing. But here I am, living proof, sitting here talking live on the air Wednesday night. I will work with Jackie Chan. I do not care what anybody says. I don't care what haters say or anybody says. I will work with Jackie Chan. You remember that. You remember Shaolin Nunchuk saying this, and I mean it more than anything in the world. And I will work with him. I don't care if it takes me for the rest of my life. I will work with Jackie Chan. So if I have that big dream, anybody out there has a dream, you remember what I said. If I have this big dream to work with Jackie Chan, you better believe whatever any of your dreams are, you'll be able to do it too. So when the day comes and I'm sitting next to Jackie Chan and I have that time where I'm working on a set with him, and then people say, I can't do my dream. I'll be like, are you kidding me? Do you know who I just started working with? Jackie Chan. So if I can do it, and I'm going to be sitting next to Jackie Chan, talking with him and working on set, you can do it too. You know, I've talked with many different people over the past few years. And what I see on their Facebook page, and they're being put down with people around them because they're acting or they're doing what they're doing. That's not right. So I've actually talked with those people, and I believe in them. They want to act and model or do something, make their own films. I believe in those people. Even if I'm the only person to believe in those people that have their dreams, they have someone that believes in them. And I will stick up for everybody that has a dream. Whatever it may be, I don't care. No one has a right to tell you that you cannot work on a dream. No one can stop you. you just get up and you walk away from that negativity, from those naysayers. You kick those people to the curb. You find the people that want to work with you. It might, you might be alone for a little while, but you know what? That's okay. Because then you can clear your mind, you can get that negativity, the poison out. You can detox your body from getting away the negativity. Ask the universe. What people have told me, okay? I'm going to pass this on to you. Believe me, these are people that have told me, and I'm going to pass this stuff on you. It's not a secret. Tonight, if you have a dream, take a piece of paper. What you do, you write down that dream on that piece of paper. Whatever it may be, if it's something in your heart, you write that on your piece of paper. You hold on to the piece of paper, or you write it in the journal. You keep that close to you. You look at that piece of paper every single day. You look at your journal every single day. Whatever that dream is, you read it every single day. You look at it. And for me, I've written it everywhere. You Google my name. Yes, Google. G-O-G-G-L-E. You Google Shelley Nunchuck Finnegan. I am all over the internet because I've written every single way you can think of for 7 years that I will work with Jackie Chan. Not lying. You Google my name because no one's going to stop me from my dream. Yes, I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm sure someone out there is going to hear me. And I hope I am damn well inspiring people because, you know what, anybody that has a heart, just remember, you are your own Rocky, and you have the eye of the tiger. You fight, and you never give up. On your hard days, when you are so down, you remember what's in your heart. If you're crying on your pillow, you just remember that that day is almost done. Tomorrow's another day. Now, I know people are out there, and they get so depressed. They want to become suicidal. Let me say, suicide is not an answer. You might have a bad day, a couple of bad days, a couple of bad weeks. How do you not know what tomorrow is going to bring? How do you not know all of a sudden you could be making new friends? You could be making friends that will become your family, the people that are going to help you. Just remember, your darkest hour is going to make you the strongest for the rest of your life. If you're laying on that floor in your house, you're crying yourself, you're throwing up in the bathroom for how sick you are in your heart because people have made you feel like crap, you remember what I tell you. I am living proof sitting here tonight, 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. standard Eastern time here in America. And you remember that you can do it. You can make the most of your life. You do it baby steps. Like I said, you want to make a film. You take a piece of paper. You write it. Maybe you can find someone that can turn it into a script for you. You best thing to do, you don't have money, right? After you get the script, okay, it's called Poor Man's Copyright. You take that script, you mail yourself a script. You do not open it once you receive it. That's the Poor Man's script. And then if you want to send it to Writers Guild of America East or something, and you get a document, it's like $22, I think, to submit it. Then you have your script and it's copyrighted. Then all you got to do, network. Maybe at first you're not going to find someone that wants to work with you, but eventually someone somewhere is going to like your script. You know, maybe someone's going to help you out. And, you know, maybe you can work and save the money and have a budget. You can pick the actors. You know, for me, I don't think with my script I wanted to sign over any rights for creativity. And people do that, and guess what? Those people, the writers, I think some of their vision is lost. But that's their loss because they sign over the rights to their script. Nobody falls but their own. So, I mean, some people, writers, they don't mind, and that's the way they make good money. But for me, my script, I'm the one that's going to be in creative control for my film, The Dishwasher. And I think a lot of indie filmmakers, they have a say in their films. I mean, personally, I would too. So that's basically all you have to do. Just sit there and write. Another thing, too, if you have a dream of maybe wanting to lose weight, all you got to get up, start walking. I mean, it's so hard nowadays. What I've seen with people, and they do get suicidal and stuff when people actually overweight, it makes you feel depressed. And some people are happy the way they are, but, you know, it's because of the media, everybody has to be a stick size zero. The thing is, there's no talk of the in-between women. They're either zero or they're huge. So I guess all the women in the rest of the world, we don't matter. Now, there's women that want to have a little bit more muscle. So I guess those women that are in between, you know, where myself, I want to get a little bit ripped. Not to look like a guy, but I like being toned. So with the media, they're even shown one extreme or the next. There's so many different shapes to women. Yet, if you really think about it, guys, they can be as huge as a house. It doesn't matter. Yet with women, they have to be a size zero or they're not supposed to count. What's up with that? I mean, basically, the average woman's size, if you really think about it, is probably a size 12. Now, I guess I'm kind of lucky because I'm 5'8", so I kind of wear my weight really well. So nothing's impossible in this world. You can do things, but I guess some ways it kind of still is a man's world. So I just tend to think that women become more self-conscious because it does seem like a man's world. It, you know, men can be any way they want. And hopefully with what I'm doing with the Horror Z showing in our film where I really truly like what he's doing, he's showing women of many different, you know, sizes, different races and stuff, and showing that we are strong and we're becoming Valkyrie and basically showing that even if a guy walks into the room, women are not going to become weakened. So indeed, I feel very lucky to be able to find people who want to work with me. So that's kind of cool. I mean, I'm really lucky with that. And I guess it's kind of a miracle that I'm even, you know, sitting here talking on the air, 10 p.m. Standard Eastern Time. If anybody wants to call in, they can call in. It's 877-907-7217. Once again, 877-907-7217. You can call in and say hi. But basically, down the road, I will have a couple of guests, and I'll try to have some sort of format to ask questions and stuff. So if people want to call in, say hi. If there's any filmmakers out there and they want to promote any of their work, because remember, after the show is posted live, it's archived, so you can listen to it over and over again. And once again, thank you, Adriana, for calling in, the man behind Irish Whisper, who's working with one of the guys I call my bro, Jay Gianoni. And I guess Adriana must be moving out to California, I think. I could be wrong if he's moving or not, but I guess he's making the move himself. And who knows, I might make the move myself out to California. And it's not so necessarily the filming. Yeah, I mean, you can make films anywhere. I've learned that, you know. But I think it's because I just want a change from living in Maine. I've been living in Maine for 2 years, but I think I really want to move. You know, I mean, the sad thing is, yeah, well, the whore is down the street from me and some other people, but I think from moving to Maine, the whore had taught me not to be afraid. Because I think with situations, they made me stronger where I didn't want to leave Boston. I was afraid to leave Boston. But since I was able, with the help of Ahura and his family, they made me afraid. And they've given me a lot of strength. And I got to give credit where credit's due, because if it wasn't for Ahura, the Lisa, I would not be doing the things that I'm doing. So I feel very blessed. And I think the day I do work with Jackie Chan, I'd love to tell him all about my brother. Because, you know, like with Jackie had brothers that were not blood, but became his brothers. And, you know, they are throughout his whole life, Sammo Hung and Yun Bao. And he met them at the Drama Academy when he was younger. He was signed into from his parents. And I think I know a lot about Jackie. Maybe I don't know everything about Jackie Chan, but just reading his book, I Am Jackie Chan, and I just happened to know things. I became a Jackie Chan fan, which, you know, you get a letter, and I actually, in my package, when I became a Jackie Chan fan, which I finally did after so many years and getting my package, and in the package itself, become a Jackie Chan fan, I have frail pictures of Jackie. And to me, those pictures of Jackie Chan, which are real, is worth a lot of money to me. And it just makes me so excited that when I got the pictures, I didn't expect that. So that was a nice little surprise to me that I actually got those pictures. And you get a newsletter to see what's up with Jackie. And I don't know if it's a couple times a year. So it was really kind of neat that I got that in the newsletter. And once again, I cannot wait for Chinese Zodiac. I know the winter. The only reason why I want to think about the winter in December is because it's so cold. It's like North Pole cold. Let's see. Who is this? Someone's calling in. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
All right. I presume you're an actress.
Yeah, I do indie films, and I do a little bit of stunts and fights. Who's this?
My name's Joe. So you're a stunt woman?
Well, I'm not a stunt woman per se, but I actually do some of my own type of stunts and fights things. I've done a little bit of indie work, and I'm working on my own film now.
I always wanted to meet a stunt woman more than I wanted to meet some of the stars in Hollywood, because the stunt women actually do the athletics.
Yeah, so you get it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like the out front persona of the women who are, you know, portraying what the message of the film is supposed to be. But I like the women who are actually athletic, who actually exert the energy, who actually have the muscles or the strength without the muscles. And they're the ones that actually have to endure the ordeal of being not even the understudy, but the person behind the person. So I always wanted to meet a stunt woman.
Yeah, I'm working on it more and more, and learning in the past couple of years. I mean, I've trained a little bit in martial arts. I mean, I'm not a black belt or anything. I trained on and off for 2 years in capoeira, and then also 1 year in Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a few films, but I've done my own stunts, but realizing I give so much support to stunt people, because I'm starting to get a little bit more involved in a film called Falkir, and
uh-huh.
We started taking horseback riding lessons. So, you know, my body's a little bit sore, and I have to get a little bit more cut, and we're going to do our own fights and stunts. So this film itself, it's just the beginning, where we're just filming, and after doing a little bit of stunt work, not a lot, but last Saturday, where was I kind of did something. It was an accident. I don't want to give it away, but it was really funny. So they had me do it over and over and over again. And they filmed it. So it's something. Just doing that little bit, I'm still a little sore, and that was from last Saturday. So I'm giving so much more respect for stunt men and women. And
oh yeah, that goes
with
the territory. I mean, I'm sure you know Zoe. She used to be the Xena backup.
I'm not really too sure. I mean, I kind of was in Xena a little bit. It's kind of...
Well,
watched
she's doing
her
own film. She's headlining her own film. She's doing webisodes, I think they call it. Look her up.
Oh, you can look it on YouTube. Is that correct?
She's probably there, but she's on Hulu, too.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. It's probably a woman that I'll like.
Yeah, she was the one who was doing the Xena stunts. You weren't.
Now you're
gonna
have me looking at it. Well, no, I mean I've watched it, but it was kind of like I can't explain it. I've been more into watching. I have more male role models than actually women.
Uh-huh.
So I'm actually the role model that I actually like is Jackie Chan. So I've watched a lot of his stuff, and it's kind of where. That's the guy that I want to work with.
Yeah,
so,
you've answered my question. When I saw I want to work with Jackie Chan, I said, okay, why? That's why I offered. I mean, I opened up with, I presume you're an actress, but if your entry into the acting world is through the stunt role, yeah, now I know why you want to work with Jackie Chan. But isn't Jackie, he hasn't done a film in a while. Isn't he kind of like almost per se, I mean, passe?
No, he's been doing a lot of stuff. He just got done filming Chinese Zodiac. He's actually, that's going to be coming out December 12, 2012. So he actually did that. He's, you know, 58 years old. I mean, he admits he can't do what he used to do, and people took it out of context, and we had to, like, alert people to let them know that, you know, Jackie's not retiring, because people don't always understand what he's saying. He just says, you know, he wants to do more type of roles, where people think he's only done action films, Mm-hmm. But if you really know Jackie, if you're a true Jackie Chan film, you'll know that there's other films he's done where it's not just fighting. He's done history films in China that's based on that culture. And when you see him act, I mean, his expressions on his face, when he's upset or sad, he can bring it. He can act, and he tried to state, you know, that he wanted to kind of be like De Niro, and everybody got in an uproar, and they said, well, you'll never be like De Niro. And he goes, no, that's not what, you know, that's not what he says. He's like, he looks up to these people. He kind of looks up to De Niro, and he kind of like, you know, people took it out of context, but he's now doing another comedy action film as we speak. He's working on something. I don't know what it is. He just said he's working on it. So he's been doing stuff. You know, he hasn't stopped. So I don't know what that one's about yet, but The Chinese Zodiac is coming out December 12, 2012 in theaters.
Well, I say more power to him. I mean, Bruce Lee broke the barrier, so, and that was like 30, 40, however many years ago. So I guess he did pretty well here in America, so more power to him.
Yeah, and if you look, you know, in Enter the Dragon, Jackie was in that film?
I wouldn't recognize him in there, but I think I might have read something that he was, you know, in a Bruce Lee film, so, yeah.
Well,
to me,
I'm not
I'm not a huge fan of Jackie Chan. I had nothing against him, but I've seen a few of the films, and, you know, they're just okay by me. I think he does best when he teams up with, what was it, Chris Carter?
Oh, Rush Hour? You mean those films there? I mean, that's actually, you know, some of those films, I mean, the first one I really liked because that was a breakthrough for him. Because he had to prove in America, because when he came here and did the Cannonball Run films, he was well known through Asia. And when he came here, no one knew who he was. Everyone knew Burt Reynolds.
Right.
So he had to keep doing these things. He's been doing so many films. He actually, if you look on his IMDb page, he has over 100 films. So it's kind of like, you know, he's done a lot of work. And the props that I give to him, and it's like, okay, not everyone's a Jackie Chan fan like I am, but if you really think about it, the man himself, with his work, him as an artist, has given so much over the years. Now people, I mean, I wish they would take the word and not call him old. They should call him older. Mm-hmm. He may not be able to do what he used to do, but they're like, it's almost kind of like people want to rush him into a retirement, and it's kind of disrespectful in my eyes because the man... Because, you know, the other thing that I think of, he gives back a lot. He does a lot of charity work. He does so much. I mean, I can't even tell you. It's like every time you turn around and there's a disaster in the world, Jackie's there. I mean, he has a plane now, so every time he's there, he goes there. He donates his money. He doesn't have to do these things, but he makes foundations. He's a goodwill ambassador. I mean, there's so many things that he does. And he could be sitting there, you know, living off, you know, what he's made, his millions. But he's given back. You know, he goes to countries that don't have water, and he brings them water, like, you know, he sets up things. And if you read about him, you know, he's a great human being, not just, you know, someone who has an ego.
Well, the way it goes in Hollywood is that you're only as good as your last pick. And in terms of his body of work, people may or may not be impressed by it, because if you look at any Indian actor in Bollywood, they've made hundreds of films. They make... 2 to 3 films a week. So people may or may not be impressed by that also. Also, another thing, Jackie Chan's foundation for his reputation is that he's a physical person. He likes to do his own stunts in many cases. So that's another thing which attracted people to him. So if he's going to get that old or get older where he can't do the stunts that he used to, he's going to have a drop-off in attendance.
Yeah, but I tend to think if you go on his Facebook page, he has over 27 million people that are, like, fans that really love him, and they still look up to him because every time he posts a picture, it's like swamps. I mean, I have him on my Facebook page, his real Facebook page, and every time he posts something, he used to be addicted to Facebook, but he's doing so much, so he only posts one thing once in a while, and every time he posts something, there's so many comments. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, people... just really love him. There's a community out there, you know, on his fan club page, I became that, and, you know, just connecting with people where there's people that weren't even in the acting business that have met Jackie, and it was through Jackie Chan meetups. So there's people that meet Jackie all the time, and there's this community of people that love Jackie. So in a world that big with 27 million people, it's actually normal to like Jackie Chan. So it's kind of, I mean, to each their own, I believe it, but just because since I was little, I've loved Jackie. You know, it's just that I hid it for such a long period of time. I was afraid to admit that I liked Jackie. And that's kind of, it sounds really stupid, but it's just the way my circumstances of growing up, I felt ashamed. And it sounds stupid, but, you know, as a kid and you have bullies, you know, when you get beat up all the time. You know, I didn't want to say anything, but as an adult and getting into martial arts, it's just basic. I'm not, you know, it's just basic way of learning. And now it's kind of like I want to learn on my own and I have to get back to what, you know, where I'm happy at, to be able to do more moves and just learn on my own to go beyond the dojo. But you know,
are you into
just,
the women's MMA?
Well, I've never watched it. I've watched a little bit of the guys, but I haven't had time to really watch it because I don't get TV. I refuse to pay for TV because if it's going to be crap, I want to be the one to select the craft that I want to work. Not saying that MMA is crap. It's just, I mean, I have respect for, you know, people that do that. It's just I only know very little about that. But, you know, loving martial arts and learning, you know, it's not about the movements on the outside. It's really on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people that are martial artists, they live a lot longer. You know, people, when it becomes a way of life, and if you really think about it, over in China, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but they have, I mean, these parks for the elderly, and they practice Tai Chi.
Yeah.
And they live past, like, 100. And it's kind of amazing how I wish we took something from China and brought it here, but I think people in the parks themselves, if they had this stuff from that was over there in the parks for the elderly, around here, they probably would have ruined it and vandalized it. And it's really sad because...
What's that practice over in China that the government is trying to suppress?
What did you say?
What is that particular practice in China that the government is trying to suppress? It's a physical exercise. It's like Tai Chi.
I'm not really too sure if it's, you mean like Kung Fu or something?
Well, it's like Tai Chi. The people will go out there in the garden or in the park and they'll practice their moves, but I think it's symbolic of some sort of perhaps religious belief, and the government is trying, well, is suppressing them. I don't know the name of it offhand. I thought maybe you would, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff, what I try to do is try to bring, you know, talk about my show, like, more positive things and about dreams and stuff. I mean, anything, because I says when I first started my radio show, certain things I wouldn't bring up on my show, anything, any political or anything about you know, people's, you know, their own choice of sexuality and stuff. It's kind of like I stay away from politics.
Okay.
But to fight for, but you know what I do believe is that with the world, it isn't the politician, it's us as a people, that we are the ones that have to make the difference. Because when people, like I said, I won't talk about any politics or who I vote for or anything, but people always blame the politicians, but us, it's us as a people. We're the ones that should be going out and feeding the homeless and, you know, also anything with the, another thing is to get rid of the gas chambers and the animal shelters. I mean, there's so many things that we could be doing. Unwanted children that would want to spend time with us, you know, and things like that. We as people, I mean, you know, we're the ones that need to start doing something and take responsibility. That's what it comes down to.
Well, there are a lot of people who are doing that, and they're, could be more, but I think people's attitudes towards politicians, other than they're corrupt, is that they're the ones that supposedly represent us, therefore they're the ones who are supposed to set the policies. So a lot of people won't do stuff because they're allowing the politicians to do it. What people don't realize is that politicians are crooked people, and you don't want to get too much into politics, which is kind of like my bailiwick, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it just seems like every, I mean, I'm not either whatever you call Democrat or Republican, I'm nothing. You know, it's something where I just believe I have to do it myself, and other things that I'm working on where I try to do this thing where I want to become a goodwill ambassador. Like, there's quite a few things that I want to do, not just acting, but from learning at a goodwill ambassador at the United Nations, you have to have a big voice. It seems like you have to be this big, huge person to be a goodwill ambassador, because I tried submitting something and I was just ignored. So I'm kind of going to have to become a bigger voice to do.
Well, I think
that's
a political
really
appointment. Either you're going to have to make a splash in the newspapers, or you're going to have to become rich and buy your way into an ambassadorship.
Yeah, isn't that sad? Because do you know how many people in the world that have good hearts that really probably could change the world? I mean, but if you really think about it, one of the persons that decide to work with the poor, and, you know, I don't talk too much about religion, but the people that I kind of look up to, like Mother Teresa, she was among the poor. She actually did the work.
Yeah.
And I'm trying I'm trying to learn more about her. It's not so much of religions. I mean, you can learn about as much religion as you can, but when you see the people that were actually here, and like especially on my time on the planet, like Mother Teresa was still alive when I was here, and I'm learning more about her, and to see she actually worked among the poorest of the poor. So it's kind of like,
well, she walked the walk as opposed to, you know, just talking the talk. That's why I like Mahatma Gandhi, because people don't realize, they always think of him as some sort of poor Indian. I forget the names they would ascribe to the poor Indians. They thought that he was some sort of Punjab or something. But he actually was educated at Cambridge, and he didn't become that way overnight. He started out being a protester, and then having gotten beaten a few times, and he became an inspiration. Then he gave up all his worldly possessions and mindset to walk amongst the poor, and that's how come he was so revered in India, because he was truly walking the talk. And I think Mother Teresa was also working amongst lepers, which I have to give her kudos for, if my memory's correct. Yeah,
so it's something, but you see along the lines, it's like, I talk about, you know, with Jackie and stuff, but it kind of, I think opening doors will lead to what's really in my heart. It's kind of hard. It's like people, unless you're a bigger person, sometimes they don't, like when you have good things at heart to help people that are less fortunate than yourself, all you can do is just do things in your own backyard, because I know, you know, I'm not a big enough person to, like, help out the whole world, but in my own backyard where, this is just a little thing, but where I live, people throw cats away. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is just a tiny thing. A woman lives with about 15 cats up on the cul-de-sac where I live. So what I've done is, if I see animals, one cat's missing an eye, one cat's missing a tail. I mean, these people did horrible things to the cats. They survived. One cat got his jaw bashed in. Someone hit her with a bat, and she paid for an operation to take for a cat. So I walk around. If I see a cat, I can't take all these cats in, but I'll feed them. If I see them, I mean, she takes really good care of them, and I actually adopted a stray. Mm. She actually showed up in my backyard, and I fed her, and I thought she was a boy, because she was coming out from underneath my car just meowing at me, so I sat on the ground and fed her. Next thing I know, she's in my house, and I named her Jackie Chan, because she kept coming out like a ninja, and my cat's name is Jackie Chan. Going to find out she was a cat, and I'm like, next thing I know, she's in my house and I have a cat. And this is what just keeps happening. Animals just show up, and that's how I get a pet. I think they think, oh, look at this sucker, she'll feed me. So I think that's how I get a pet.
Well, it's one thing, but I can make a suggestion, but then it's political. But then if you follow up on the suggestion and actually try to change, let's say, some conditions within your neighborhood, since it's, you know, you can't really change conditions of the world, I have to warn you, you will meet a lot of resistance.
Yeah, I already kind of do. I know what you're talking about. I've had a little bit of personal experience, but it's like if you go in there, you know, and you're actually working with the animals yourself, you know, you're there surrounded with them, that's kind of a difference. It might not be the whole big world, but in your own backyard, if I'm here and there's cats, what am I going to do? I'm going to feed them. So it might not be a big, huge thing in the whole world, but where I live, it's maybe it's a big thing to those animals. And,
to the animals, of course. If they're starving or if they've been mistreated, of course.
Yeah. And as I'm talking, I have the cat on the bed with me as I speak, and she's all curled up.
Yeah, she feels nice and secure. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's just this little butterball. When she first came, she was very thin, like unbelievably thin. And she actually had fleas, and what I had done is I took her, and I said, you know, this cat, she's going to scratch me up. What I did is in my shower, I went into the shower with her, and I gave her the showers. You know, I was in there with her, you know, because I thought she would be scared.
Well, they don't like water, yeah.
Well, this cat, I don't know, she tries to get in the shower with me. I don't know why my animals, they just try. No, I swear to God, I was like, I don't know, she tries to open up the curtain. She's yelling at me, screaming at me, and she wants to come in the shower. Next thing you know, she's drinking the water. And I'm like, you dirty cat, that's my butt. That's butt water. Get out of here. And I don't know
what it is.
Well, I have animals. They just want to get into the shower with me. And I'm like,
well, you must really love these animals. They must really love you. I mean, you must really treat these animals well, because I, you know, most of the time, animals, I mean, cats, do not like water.
I don't think she wants to be alone. I think it's because maybe for so long she didn't have anybody, and now it's like, I think that's what it is. It's like, when you care for an animal.
Maybe she's traumatized,
You know, maybe she just cares for me so much, she knows, like, I won't hurt her. And it's like, if I'm in the shower, she's screaming at the curtain. I'm like, shut up, you're going to wake up the neighbors. She's screaming like she's being killed. I'm like, it sounds like someone's sticking with the fork. And I'm like, okay, you want to come in? She sticks her head in. Next thing you know, she's drinking the water. I'm like, you dirty cat.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because she was used to drinking the puddle water. I don't
maybe.
Know if it was something
maybe.
And it, she wants to drink the toilet water and then, you know, from the sink. And
they always
like
to drink the toilet water, because the toilet water actually is clean. You know, if you clean your toilet, even, you know, right after using it, it's actually very clean. But I was thinking, in order for you to, if you want to make an impact on the neighborhood and perhaps use that as a jumping point to perhaps become a goodwill ambassador, you might want to help out with community affairs in a way. In other words, if you're having problems with neighbors, or if neighbors are having problems with neighbors, or if neighbors are having problems getting their community stuff done, you might want to try to be a spokesperson for them, and then use that, put that on a resume, you know, see if you can become a goodwill ambassador from there.
That's pretty good. That's what I was thinking. Like, you know, what you just said is actually where I live. There's actually an animal shelter that has no kill. And what I tried to do, what I started doing, it sounds really little, and I actually use my Facebook as, like, to show people for posting. It's starting to get attention, where there was one of the animal shelters, they have, like, adoption time, so I try to post about animals, and I'm, like, saying, you know, to donate. So I'm doing a little bit what I can, and, you know, I visited the shelter myself, and the animals are taken well care of, and I'm thinking, why not build a bigger place so they can take care of animals? And the people, the volunteers and stuff are wonderful at the shelters, and that's why I speak about it, because I've been there and seeing things, and I've actually had experience working with animals. I used to work at a doggy daycare, and the thing is, I didn't end up liking the place afterwards because of the owners, but I worked there for 9 months, and I was handling about 30 dogs at a time, and it was just something insane. In one room, there was many different animals, and another thing, you know, working with many different animals, you see how animals really are, and you hear about these reputations about animals where you hear about pit bulls and all these things, and I think it has to do with the people and the owners and not really the pets themselves.
No, you're right. I think even if you take a dog that is, let's say, his DNA is more aggressive than other dogs, if you treat a dog right, that's why, you know, dogs are man's best friend, because if you treat a dog right, they're going to remain faithful to you regardless of their breed.
Yeah, and that's really true, Joe. It's really kind of, it's really sad, like, where how people, like, when I'm looking more into the shelters, like, I've friended more, like, of the shelters on my Facebook page and seeing about, you know, how people have to drop the animals off. Now, some people, I mean, if they lose their houses and stuff and they don't want the animals to be homeless, and I totally understand that, but this one animal, this cat that got dropped off, and I almost I almost died, and I think it was going to be killed, but I think someone rescued it because it was at one of the high kill shelters. People didn't want their cat anymore because they got furniture.
Mm-hmm.
They got better furniture. And I'm like, if you have an animal, you know, you first of all, you should train it not to do things. And sometimes a cat is kind of a little bit hotter than a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have an animal, that's a living creature. It's not an accessory. It's not part of the furniture. It's something that becomes part of your family. And, I mean, in my life, I've had to give up animals myself, but I actually replaced them with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had in my life, I says, you know, I don't want to bring them to a shelter, and it would just happen to meet people that had cats, and they took my cats,
mm-hmm.
and I felt very blessed because they have a happy home. So knowing with that, I mean, it was a time of my life, but I didn't want to give them to a shelter. So instead of people looking for, you know, to give them to someone to adopt, they'll bring them to a shelter. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they don't have no choices, but the first thing you should at least do is go around and ask people. And there's so much networking on the internet, especially Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure if you start, you know, not necessarily like Craigslist, but usually you have people that you possibly talk to a lot on Facebook and you get to know, and I'm pretty sure they would help you network. And that's what helped me. So I couldn't really have a cast at the time, so people took my cats, and I'm very thankful. And it was for a reason, too. I really, because I thought I would take them back, but they were already settled, and they were happy, and they were integrated with other cats. So, you know, they were well taken care of. So the other thing, next thing I know, I have another cat. I rescue another cat. And this happens through my whole life. It seems like I get animals, I rescue them, and then I place them. Another animal comes in, and I was like, well, I guess I am a warrior, and it's for animals. I guess that's what it is. I keep rescuing next to
Do you know the story of Sylvester Stallone and his dog?
No, I mean, I know a lot about the Rocky man, but no, I didn't hear that. What about his dog?
His first movie was Rocky back in 76. And the dog, the huge dog that he had in the movie was actually his dog, Bumpkiss. It was that big, big old dog.
Yes,
That was his best friend in the entire world. He and his wife were having problems at the time because he wasn't getting the kind of gigs that he wanted, and he wanted to produce this particular movie, Rocky, and the people who wanted to produce it did not want him as a star. Well, anyway, he convinced them that he'll sell them the script, but he has to act in his own film. So he had his own dog in the film. What happened was, though, in order to finance, partially to finance the film, he had to sell his best friend. So what happened was he stood outside of a shelter, and he sold Bumpkiss, the big old dog. He sold it to the first person who would pay him like $100, $200, whatever it was for the dog. So then he got the film produced. So now he's rich. He wanted the dog back. So he stood by the shelter, and he stood there for days, maybe 2 or 3 days in a row or so. The guy finally comes by, and he has Bumpkiss on the leash. He says, I'd like to buy back my dog. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting the story a little bit mixed up. What happened was he was trying to get inside, trying to get a gig. He was running out of money. He was going to be homeless. He needed money to support himself and his wife. He sold the dog for about $100. Then he got the gig with to do Rocky. So now he's got extra money. So now he's got this extra money. He wants to buy the dog back, and the film hasn't been produced yet. So he stands outside the shelter. The guy comes by with Bumpkiss. And he says, can I buy Bumpkiss back? Now, the guy, I don't know if he's shallow or he's shrewd. In any case, he says, let me give you back $200 and maybe another $100 and get back the dog. Now, this is what had happened was something like 5-6 months had transpired between the time he sold the dog and the time he got the movie deal, okay? So it hasn't been that long. The guy says, well, I'm attached to this dog now.
Oh!
So Sly goes, well, let me give you $1,000. No, I'm really attached. He goes,
no!
Let me give you $2,000. He keeps going up the ladder. He finally buys back Bumpkiss for $15,000.
Oh, my God.
And he gives the guy a part in the film because that was part of the deal they made. So that's what happens, you know, when you can't hold on to your dog.
Oh my God! But it, I mean, that dog still—I don't think is alive now. I think he must have passed away, right?
Yeah, he had to. I mean, this was over 30 years ago, so yeah. But I mean, that's some story. I mean, you take a look at the dog in the film. That's actually Stallone's dog, and there, you know, the history behind it. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I didn't know that. I cannot believe it.
Well, you
wow.
can go to YouTube. Go to YouTube, and there's a story there about Stallone talking about either the making of Rocky or. Some Stallone interview. It's like 3 or 4 parts, and in that one of the 3 or 4 parts, he's talking about what happened with his dog. So it was, you know, it was a good story.
Oh my God, I think I kind of like that story. When it comes to animals, oh my God. Now I can't believe I didn't know about that, because it's like I really love the first couple of Rockies. I mean, you gotta love Rocky because he's the underdog of underdogs. That's what the film represents.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it kind of makes me, like, why I love it is because he's got the accent, and it's like, you know, it kind of feels like, even though it's a different state, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's come from a different state, we have these accents where he kept it throughout
his
career.
No, he was born in New York, and it was about, it was about Philly, so it was about a northeast, northeastern boxer, so he didn't have to lose anything, right?
Yeah, even his other roles, I mean, all his roles that he's done his whole life, oh my God, he just makes me kind of proud, because it's like so many people told me I had to lose my accent, and I go, why? If it's helping me get
well, you
a couple
sound like
more
you're
roles
from Boston,
and,
but you don't have that much of a Boston accent.
Yeah, no, I do. I've lived in Southie and East Boston and a couple of places in the inner city, so it's kind of like people think I am from New York, but it's kind of like. Because living in the inner cities and, like, not as much as the suburbs, I think that's what it is. And I'm half Italian, and, like, you know, my background, some of my family is Italian, some of my people are Irish, so
mm-hmm.
go figure, I'm kind of a mixed mutt.
Yeah, but what was I going to say about, but I mean, I only noticed the Boston accent on certain words. What was I going to say about him? Oh, but see, he's Italian, he comes from New York. But one thing people don't give him credit for, and they say he's a bad actor, he's not that bad of an actor. You had to have seen him in The Lords of Flatbush, which he did prior to Rocky. He was very good in that. But the thing is, whenever he does like a down-and-out Italian role, which is what he always does with Rocky, he never does it in a typical New York Italian fashion. He doesn't come across like a De Niro or a Pacino or a Danny Aiello. These guys are quintessentially New York Italians. With Stallone, he just comes across as a down-and-out person who happens to have come
yeah.
from New York. People don't give him that kind of credit, though.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, see, you feel how I feel, and in films like that, I enjoy it, but I think, you know, where people can't get past is when a person is a certain way, right? I think with an accent, if you sound a certain way, you might sound stupid to them, but actually, Sylvester Stallone is really an intelligent man. I mean, I know he had at birth,
mm-hmm.
he kind of, when he came out, I think they damaged a nerve in his face.
Well, they did. They had the forceps,
and
they took him out head first with the forceps, so that's why he's got the lip that droops a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, I can see past that with certain things. And when you had mentioned earlier about Bollywood,
mm-hmm.
believe me, oh boy, what popped in mind was Shahrukh Khan. I don't know if you know him, but he's
no.
a big,
mm-hmm.
big time actor. I'm into Bollywood films. When you had mentioned that up, I should have brought that up. You know, going back to that. But I've been watching because of a person that I'm actually working with. His name is Akoras, and he you know, something where he's the one that told me all about Bollywood films. And when I saw Om Shanti Om, it's O-M-S-A-N-T-I-O-M, when I saw that film, like, I was never really into a lot of American musicals because, you know, the love stories, I kind of was like, I'm not a chick flick kind of girl. I like the action films. I grew up in so many different things. I played with G.I. Joes, and I wanted to be a ninja.
Right.
So, they said, oh, this, you know, you're going to like this film. And the thing that I tend to find out, they're like, well, watch when Shahrukh comes out of the water. And this guy's in his 40s. I mean, he's probably about 5'5".
Mm-hmm.
But from what I was learning, and after seeing him come out of this water in the scene, he was all ripped. And they said, like, I almost fell over. I go, this guy's 40 years old. I was like, oh, my God. And he's, like, really in shape.
Right.
What they had said, what they did when they were filming, in the middle of filming, they stopped for about 3 or 4 months. He worked out every single day just for that one scene. And you can actually see in the beginning, he wasn't that well ripped.
Uh-huh.
And halfway through, when he's taking his shirt off, it's like, whoa. And ever since then, I knew who Shahrukh Khan is. And he's one of the biggest actors in Bollywood. He does a lot of films. And the films are just wonderful. I mean, what it is like these great Hollywood films, it starts out happy, and
uh-huh.
then some sort of disaster, and then happy at the end. I mean, there's some other films that are sad, but I like the Bollywood films. I mean, it has music in it. It's all subtitles. Sometimes they speak English, but the women, they're beautiful.
No,
God.
Yeah, well, you apparently, you know, are aficionado of them. I've seen a few of them. I don't like any of them. I've seen one that maybe a few scenes from one that was actually acceptable to me. But did you know that Stallone also did a Bollywood commercial?
Did he really? What was it about?
The opening scene is when two girls and a guy are rushing to get to a set, and they have to rush through a poor neighborhood, and they get kind of surrounded by a gang. One of the girls escapes, and she's running through the neighborhood, and she comes across this mysterious stranger. And the mysterious stranger has on a hood. He turns around, he pulls the hood back, and it's Stallone. Then the gang finally catches up with her while she's staring at Stallone, you know, being very starstruck. So he kicks their ass.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, too. I forget the name of it, but you can probably say, for keywords, Sylvester Stallone or Rocky commercial, something like that.
Oh, I'll have to check it out. I mean, all these things that I'm learning tonight, see, just when you think you know everything, you don't. Because there's always something you always
mm-hmm.
can learn. Like, every time I think I know everything about Jackie, there's something else I don't know. It's like there's so many things you don't mean, even, anybody. When you think you know everything, there's something that you just don't know that someone else brings up. And I'm like, it just blows my mind.
Well, if you were more into martial arts, did you know about the gathering that Rocky had at, you know, at his house? And supposedly Van Damme called out Steven Seagal, and Steven Seagal refused to fight him?
No, I didn't hear about this.
Well, that was about 6, 7, 8 years ago. That's also on YouTube.
Did they videotaped it?
Well, no, there was no fight. What happened was Van Damme is on a talk show in Brussels, and he's talking about how he was over at Stallone's house, and he called out Seagal. He said he waited outside for about an hour or 2 hours for Seagal to come out, and Seagal never came out. And then there's another Steven Seagal is a cop. He's actually a cop in the United States. He's been a cop for a while. He's been given, I don't know if he's been given certification, but he's officially a cop for one of these towns. I don't know if it's in Pennsylvania. And they were doing a reality show. And Seagal is riding around in the car. So to be a wise guy, the guy that's driving the police car, he says, hey, I heard that you and Van Damme almost got into a fight. And Seagal says, please, if Van Damme ever came near me, he'd run.
Oh, my God. That's pretty funny.
It is. They have these petty ego contest, turf wars going on in Hollywood, and, you know. I've always liked Stallone because I recognized him before he did Rocky, and I didn't like the first film that much. I actually fell asleep during watching it. But I loved Rocky III when...
is that the one with, what's it called? Is it Mr. T and Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, that was a great action
yeah.
film. Great action.
Yeah.
Whoa. But I like that one, and I like what, you know, Stallone stands for. Like, you're a Jackie Chan fan. I'm a Stallone fan because I like what he represents. He represents the little guy, the guy, especially
yeah.
what he does. And the speech is on YouTube, too, where he's talking to his son, and he says, it's not how hard you get hit. It's how hard you get hit and keep moving forward.
Yeah, his motivational speeches
yeah.
is what I like. And it's like, just to hear that, and it's like, what comes to my mind, it's like relating you know, to try to work on my dream where I know nothing's impossible. You just have to work for it and to work for it hard.
Mm.
And just know that being an underdog, and every time I was like, I post on my Facebook page, sometimes I post about Rocky and Eye of the Tiger, and it's like,
right.
you gotta have, you have to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is. That hunger stays inside of you. That never goes away, even as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I keep saying, I feel blessed that even though it's kind of like I've been working on things for 7 years
mm-hmm.
and doing, every time I get an opportunity, if it doesn't work out, I work on something else. So for 7 years, every single day,
mm-hmm.
I've worked on something. Even on Christmas, everything, every single day, just networking and talking with people, just talking with some people. That's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you some words of wisdom. These come from Stallone. But I don't know if they'll be encouraging or discouraging. This you can do, too. You can go to YouTube and look up, who's that motivational guy? I forgot his name. The tall guy. Robin.
You got brown hair. I think I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. I just can't think of it. There's quite a few of them, but I know he's a pretty tall guy.
One. Very, he's 6'7". Anyway,
yeah.
He's got a YouTube, and he's talking about Stallone. And he and Stallone were talking one day. And everybody thinks that Stallone just went, you know, kind of easily, transitioned easily from one particular film, a couple of films, into Rocky. Now, here's the words of wisdom. This guy went through over 1,000 rejections before he got Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
He went back to the same people who rejected him 5 or 6 times, because he had such a dream to become an actor. And then he
mm-hmm.
finally said, well, I'm gonna do my own film. And
yeah.
yeah.
That's
so, I mean,
exactly,
you know,
what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, the road is rocky, you know. The road is very, very rough. I mean, it's like over 1,000 times this guy got rejected, and oh, my God. I mean, it's like, I don't know if it inspires people or makes people depressed. You know, I don't know if I can do 1,000.
I know what you're saying, like, in my own personal experience. When I first got into acting, it's like, you know, no one wanted to look at me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing. It's like, I'm not a typical Hollywood, you know, type of model. You know how Hollywood has a certain beauty, and it's really true. Hollywood is biased. But learning from my experience, and I had to work,
mm-hmm.
where when I first started going out for auditions, people started giving me the hooker roles, wanted to give me the hooker roles, the slot roles, and all those things. And I refused to do them. People were like, well, you're nobody. How can you refuse it? Because I know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do the nudity scenes, and
right.
I don't do the kissing scenes. And people were like, well, you're going to limit yourself as an actress. I go, well, there's things that I would do. I would do a role where I'd almost get myself killed in a role. You know, the action stuff.
Right.
I can do that. If you really think about it, if you really, really think about it, if there's so many beautiful people, that cookie-cutter crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that are so beautiful, and they get all the plastic surgery and all this stuff like that. How is anybody going to stand out from the next person? Do you know what I'm saying? If they're all doing the same thing, they just want to take their clothes off or whatever. I mean, some people really recognize for certain things, but so many people are doing that. How are you going to stand out amongst all those beautiful people? So, I mean, I know what's working for me. I'm happy with what I'm doing. And I'm doing an independent film. It's short. Now, people have given me advice, and I'm very thankful people that have been in the business, and they really wanted me to help distribute my film. But the thing is, I would have to do much more. But for my first film, I just want it short and sweet to the point. You know, I'm making it as easy as possible because it's my first film. I mean, I'm working on another film right now. Like I said, I'm going to have to do more training. I'm taking horseback riding lessons now and stuff for this film that we're doing about, you know, 4 strong women on one of the leads and stuff. But to get back to my film, you know, I found a film company that wants to do it for me, that are volunteering their time and their equipment and everything. And the people, the actors, you know, most of them are Asian, and I mean, it's just a short film. It's called The Dishwasher. I have a Facebook page, and I'm a dishwasher. My life is boring, and like in the film, in real life, I want to work with Jackie, and it has that Jackie Chan feel to it. And the people that I selected, the actors, they're actually people who do stunts and, you know, stuff themselves. So no one's a stunt double, and it's just going to have that feel to it. And I was thinking of taking something from a Jackie Chan film for one of my favorite scenes and what I'm doing, is I'm dedicating this film and to thank Jackie Chan for the happiness that he's given me my whole life. And when I was down and I put a Jackie Chan film on, when I was at a movie theater or whatever, if I had a breakup or something, that the guy, I put on a Jackie Chan film, he made me laugh. Mm-hmm. All the sadness, Jackie Chan, his work has made me laugh. And he's made so many people happy. So for me, in my own way, to give back, that's why I'm making this film. And that's why everybody part of my film, mm-hmm, that I'm doing, that I'm giving to Jackie, they love Jackie too. And they're donating their time. So it's kind of like, you know, I feel lucky and blessed now that I'm starting to make a connection with people. But it's been taking a long time. It's about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like what you said, which you are right, which there was a lot of rejection. No one wanted to give me time, but it's like meeting people and going to events and stuff when I was back in Boston and starting to get in my own circle. And people are saying, you know, Shelley, you have a lot of energy. You can bring it. Why don't you just be in my film? So people have been writing me in their films, but mm-hmm, I've done a little bit of work, and I should update my IMDb page, but I'm so busy with what I'm doing right now that I, you know what I'm saying, I just want to take care of what I'm doing. I don't have time to get headshots. I mean, I have a headshot, but, you know, the film that I'm doing and my film, that I've got my hands full. I'm doing the radio show, working full-time,
mm-hmm,
all these things, and then trying to go into intensive training because I want to get ripped. I want to have that, you know, after Felcare, I think I'm going to do a really great martial arts photo shoot and do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you luck. You know, I'm not,
thank you.
I'm a fan of certain actors and certain actresses, but I personally, I'm not a fan of Los Angeles, Burbank, Hollywood. I don't like the atmosphere. I'm glad I've never had the bug to be an actor.
No, it's hard. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, but nowadays there's a lot of people making their own films, and I tend to think that I've met a lot of great people that have actually been positive to me, and they're pushing me. So I've been blessed in that and finding the people that going through experience, knowing who not to be around and who to be around, and even, you know, in my own personal life,
mm-hmm,
only keeping positive people. I don't have drama in my life. I live with peace, and that's how I'm going to keep it. I'm not a woman that likes drama, and if people are going to be ignorant or rude, I don't keep those people in my life. You know, it's kind of,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's like basically my life, I live it nice and easy, but I know I'll be, even though I live in peace, there's things that I want to help to change in the world in my own way, and I pray to God that, you know, I'll be able to do that. And I'd love to talk with you more, but I think this is going to be shutting down in 8 minutes. Joe, I know you probably don't want me to know who you are and stuff, but can you at least tell me where you're calling from?
Montana.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I got family out in Montana.
Oh, you're where?
Missoula.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How about that?
No wonder why we're making a connection here.
Well, if you're a person who likes peace and quiet, you're very, very unusual for an American female. That's for sure, because you know American females love drama. But yeah,
no,
but out
no,
for
no,
Montana
no.
is, you know, big country. I mean, you take a look at the streams and the mountains and the clouds and the sky. I mean, you can't have anything but tranquility out here.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, Montana, it's so funny. I can't believe. No wonder why we connected.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm going to wish you luck because, you know, everybody should pursue their dreams. And, you know, it's going to be, hopefully you don't get too disappointed, because if you do get enmeshed within the Hollywood environment, if you feel that you have to make ties with certain people in Hollywood, you're going to find people that aren't as tranquil-minded, peace-minded as you are. Let me put it to you like this. I'm going to say about Hollywood the way that I say about Vegas. Nobody in Vegas has ever died of an overdose of sincerity. So, same thing in Hollywood. So, you know,
yeah,
good
no,
luck.
I think, well, thank you very much, Joe, but to let you know, to leave you with this, if someone who wants to train for martial arts, believe me, no one will let me have a big head. They'll kick my butt.
I wish you knew more about the martial arts and the women, because finally women are becoming a little bit more interesting than they used to be. But I'll let you go, and if you have a show again, I'll be glad to call in. If you have a little bit more time to spend about women's MMA, I can discuss that with you, too.
That sounds good. Usually it's Wednesday nights live, 9 to 11, and, you know, you can hit me up, you know, if you want on Facebook, if you're brave enough, if I don't scare you away, because I'm always posting on there. I'm posting, try to post positive quotes and stuff and keep people, you know, try to change their minds and get them more into a positive life for their own self.
Well, I won't be doing that because I'm a political activist, and you don't know, we haven't discussed politics, that's not your particular forte, but the government is following political activists on the web, so I don't leave fingerprints on the web. So I'll call in, but you won't be getting any emails from me.
Okay, no, that's no problem. I mean, anything, you know, like I said, I'm not the politics thing. I just figure as a human being, do my part to help out mankind in my own way.
Right. Well, all right, Shelley. Good luck to you again, and I'll talk to you another time.
Okay, and as if I can say this correctly, as if you're saying thank you, like Jackie Chan would say, shushay.
Oh, shushay, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in, Joe. You have a lovely evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that was kind of funny. It was like, no wonder why I relate to callers. Actually, Joe was calling from Montana. I actually have family out in Montana there. It's really a small world. I mean, even though, you know, on the internet and where I live, you can connect with anybody. That was really kind of cool and very sweet the guy Joe called in, so I appreciate that. And once again, I'll try to have some guests on the show when it looks like time is almost up. And time almost to kind of go night-night. Anyway, you know, if you have dreams and goals, just remember that no matter what, you know, they can come true. And, you know, all you can do is just dream and dream big and keep that positive light inside of yourself and don't let anybody ever persuade you not to do your dreams. Anyway, everyone, have a good night. Bye.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I'm just bracing, I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. I ain't gonna stop, no.